Drunk on Comics, episode 118. This past week, we got to read a bunch of great books for the podcast, and we talk on the show about Spider-Man Noir, Magneto, and Superannuated Man. We also discuss females in comics, talks of a Supergirl TV show, a Savage Dragon movie, and the OSU marching band, and much, much more. Also, Derek is getting into fashion with his new headphone accessories. So grab a drink, sit back and relax to episode 118 of Drunk on Comics. This part right now, or
this part?
It transitions in, and then it's like we say the words and.
Transitions, say the words.
Yes, and welcome to Drunk on Comics.
See how uncomfortable?
I don't care if it's uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. We're not friendly here. I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, welcome. What episode 118
is that where we're at? Yes, like I said, I'll look it up later and put it in the post-production, pre-production, or... Yeah, whatever I just said before getting to this point in the podcast, because then I record what we kind of did and give a summary, and I just like to talk, so that's why I do it.
Yeah, so anyway, Derek and Tony here once again with you guys, and Kevin is off doing baby shower.
Oh man, this
stuff.
Makes me so happy, because it is awkward.
Yeah, see, I told you. No, Kevin's off doing baby shower stuff.
Well, man. Have you thought about it? Two weeks ago, it was me and my brother. Then last week, it was you and Kevin. Uh-huh. Now it's you and me. So next week, we need to have Matt and Kevin just do it themselves, and we'll have the whole thing going around.
Dude, next week is Grand Con.
Shit. Okay, yeah, so we'll all be doing it. And then you and me will take a break and let just Kevin and Matt, and then it would be like we all shared different weekends.
Well, no, actually, I think next weekend we should just have Dirk and Matt do it. the fourth and fifth hosts of our show. Dirk Manning, if you guys are not regular listeners, fantastic writer, good friend of our show, will also be at Grand Con next week. And he's on our show as much as Matt.
Yep.
So, anyway, speaking of Grand Con, Grand Con is happening here next week, September 19th through the 21st at the Crown Plaza in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Check them out online at grand-con.com. Pre-registration has closed, but you can get all the information. And so show up there. Matt is going to be the recipient of stick poking this year.
I hope one day that actually happens.
Dude, I'm
on a year that you
I'm bringing
you're
a stick
poker.
I'm bringing a stick, man. So, but yeah, come see us next week. It's going to be an awesome show, gaming and comics alike. Some fantastic people there. If you want more info, we recorded some stuff with the founders of Grand Con here about a month back. So go back and check that out. Otherwise, like I said, check them out, grand-con.com. Tony, what do you got for off the shelf?
I have Magneto number 9, which the reason why I'm doing this is because it's a march to Axis, which this event looks like it's going to be kind of cool. And like I said before, I love the...
I know. The fact that the little Axis logo, that if you turn it upside down, it still says Axis.
Yeah, I mean, that's just genius. I don't know what... Logo. Genius logo. But also the story really does kind of get into what's going to be going on. Obviously, Magneto has been a badass in this comic book series, going out and pretty much getting vengeance on people and trying to get his powers back and pretty much being Magneto. Not necessarily bad guy Magneto, but he's kind of being a little more not hero-ish in his actions. But this one takes him to Genosha, which... That being where he was kind of king before, that mutant island that has been destroyed. So many things going on with that island that he found out that there are still mutants there. Mm. And not only mutants, but in one of the scenes when he sees these people dead, Inhumans, which kind of thought that was kind of curious how they're really putting Inhumans in a lot of other comic books now, even with mutants, and that he can distinguish between the two. Is, I don't know, maybe a new superpower of his. Not sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I picked this book up when it first started, and I was reading it, and I was loving it, and I missed an issue, like, 2 issues ago, and I haven't gone back yet, and I don't know
what?
Why. What? I don't know why.
This is one of the best books Marvel has out right now, because it's, yes, you know the character, everyone knows Magneto, but the storytelling in this is just so unique to him.
Who are the storytellers on this?
Oh, yeah, that would be good to mention, them. Cullen Bunn is the writer, and Gabriel Hernandez-Walta is the artist.
You know, and
Jordi Belair is doing the colors.
Yeah, of course she is. Her colors are fantastic. But, you know, I know I said this when this book first came out. This is like Marvel's version of an indie comic.
Yeah, very much so. And the way that it ties in with locations, places, people, but it really doesn't have to do with all the other Avengers, X-Men, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy people. It's pretty much just focusing on Magneto, and shit happens. Within this, he's the biggest thing too is the flashbacks of him going back to the concentration camps and how he felt so weak back then because he was just getting his powers, and how he could have ended things really early if he would have been able to magically, you know, shoot bullets out of these things and remove guns, but he couldn't then, and he felt weak. And when he sees some of these mutants who have inhibitor collars, he tries to free them. Well, when he tries to free them, they are saying, there's the man that's in our head. He knows everything we're doing. We can't leave. We can't do anything. And he pretty much calls them weak, you know, saying, your fear is going to be the end of you, but I'll be the one to stand up for you. One of the biggest things in this picture was just really telling was when the girl who can do illusions, she goes, that's my superpower. It's not really, or my mutant ability. It's not much. And I started thinking while reading this, like, even if you had a mundane superpower or mutant ability, it'd still be pretty cool. I mean, you can make a magic show out of it as long as you're not, like, purple or something, turning into the Beast.
Yeah, or like your superpowers, you can make your eyebrows grow really long and they're, like, prehensile, so, like, you can pick stuff up with your eyebrows.
That if they could, like, retract back in so I don't have, like, giant, like, Fu Manchu, like, eyebrows, that'd be cool. I don't know. I would take it. It's better than what my eyebrows can do now. I can, like, them up and down.
I'm just thinking both you and I are starting to get to the point where we're follically challenged on the top of our head. So could we, like, could you, like, maybe, like, have it just kind of, like, go up the side and, like, reform so it looks like you got a full head of hair? Because I'd be okay with that, too.
Best made-up superpower ever. Marvel, if you're listening, we want to see that happen.
Follicle Man? Awesome. Our idea.
But one of the things was when she's talking about the man in her head, she's talking about the Red Skull.
Mm.
And he's the one that is breeding, experimenting, pretty much having these mutants and inhumans because he's trying to gather an army. Not 100% sure his thoughts and plans, but the girl showing the illusion says, sometimes the man in my head looks different, and shows a picture of Charles Xavier in the illusion. And it's Magneto's just blank stare of, like, Charles. Magneto doesn't know that Charles's brain is in the Red Skull or that he's still in there, but somehow, Charles is still, I guess, kind of alive, subconsciously, brain power.
Is it Ghost Charles?
Yeah. Fuck you. It could be. I mean, no, but it's not. But that just sets up to where, will he come back then? I mean, if they can somehow transplant the brain into something else, who knows? Maybe that's going to be the whole ending of this access thing. But it was really that thing of, like, Magneto saying, holy shit, Charles might still be in there, and that could give him a chance to maybe help out his friend. Who knows? But ultimately, Magneto, being the badass that he is, goes off alone, and he sees his chance, and he sees the Red Skull, and he picks up some nails, and he's going to pretty much Magneto shoot him at the Red Skull.
Magneto shoot him.
Yeah. You can visualize him, the nails floating, and then pew, 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 pew. But unfortunately, Red Skull also has his S-Men, who are mutants that pretty much blindside Magneto. He took too long. But his dialogue of keeps going throughout this book, going back to the war and how he could have ended things then, and how he wishes that he could have, you know, stopped the Red Skull then. And the Red Skull pretty much says, "You're still hanging on to old, you know, grudges." I don't know if it's really an old grudge or, you know, you're fucking Nazi. Like,
yeah,
really, you should pretty much be dead.
And I mean, really, I mean, I know this is a more mature book, but I'm glad that Red Skull has his S-Men and not his C-Men, because that would be really, really awkward.
Yeah, good thing they're not on a boat then. But, like I said, ultimately this ends on kind of a downturn of Magneto seeing that person that he saved before and her just looking like she wants to help, and he's just like, don't do it, just get away, I'm pretty much done for. And then he's pretty much getting his ass kicked. So he's going to be captured, but it is setting up to...
Magneto only gets captured when Magneto wants to get captured.
That's true, too. But in this, the telling was like he wasn't prepared. He shouldn't have gone alone. He should have got help for what was going on. I think partly, too, yeah, he's starting to realize maybe I shouldn't be doing all this alone in my own comic book. Maybe I should have a team-up or something. Who knows? But very interesting, and if this is more going to be in the telling of what this access is, I can't wait to see what the Red Skull has in store for other heroes.
Yeah, and I got to get back into that book because I do miss it. That was such a fantastic fucking book. So, I got a Marvel book as well this week, and I mean I had a pretty sizable stack, and once I got through all of them, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely the book that I want to talk about. And I'm surprised you didn't get this, that you didn't pick this up, Tony. It's Edge of Spider-Verse, number one. It's the Spider-Man Noir.
See, the reason why I didn't is because I already had a bunch of other books, and I'm like, oh, it's a one-shot, kind of.
Yeah, but if you look in the back, you've actually got... Actually, this is Edge of Spider-Verse number one. There's number two, number three, number four, number five coming. And they're all going to be different characters. The next one is the Gwen Stacy Spider-Man. See, that,
here's the big thing, too. Noir stuff, I'm not really into. Like, I flip through it, and I'm like... I mean, I'm sure it's an interesting story, and I'm sure you'll tell me in a second what it was like. But to me, I'm just looking at it like, eh.
Okay, so written by David Hine and Fabrice Sapolsky. Richard Isenov did the art, and VC's Clayton Cowles did letters and production on this. This book, basically, this was one that I didn't even know it was coming out. But because I've got Amazing Spider-Man on my pull, our comic shop put it in for me. You know, if I wanted it, great. If not, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I know nothing about this Spider-Man Noir character except for he came out of a video game, I think.
Yeah, that's where he's first introduced. Yeah. As...
And, you know, I'm like, all right, I open it up, and I look, and the art from Isenov here is just absolutely stunning. Very lifelike, very, and just like anything else that's noir, it's very shadowy and you know, just a little bit darker, more mysterious. Speaking of mysterious, the main person in this one, the villain,
Mysterio,
the Magnificent Mysterio.
Awesome.
He's a magician in the 1939 world where Spider-Man Noir lives, and he's trying to get some of the blood of Spider-Man, because when he can get the blood of him, then he can make himself more powerful and blah, blah, blah. This also then, you know, I'm like, okay, how is this going to tie in with the Edge of Spider-Verse? And so, yes, spoilers. At the very end, bad dude, who I still don't know his name, from, you know, the Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Shows up, and he's about to kill Spider-Man Noir, and guess what? Spider-Rock shows up and goes, "Hey, buddy, we're out of here." Poof.
Really? Oh, yeah, because I forgot. Yeah, that's going
him,
on.
Well, yeah, and they showed him then meeting with the other group of people where he's saying, yeah, I decided to call a meeting. So that's the tie that brings it all back around. But the main story here was a lot about Mysterio and a lot about the Spider-Man Noir. And it's cool, too, because you've got MJ and you've got Aunt May, but they're somewhat different than what you're used to. Peter is totally different, you know, than the goofy teenager. He's more of that very serious, you know, gets his shit done and does his job. Very, very solid book. I think what worked for me was the dialogue between, because we've read Spider-Man in different,
throughout the ages,
variations of him. Spider-Man. This one, you know, Mary Jane, Aunt May, him, when they're sitting there having a conversation, it's very believable. And I actually got sucked into this world, and I'm like, and he's actually, you actually barely see him in his outfit, in his superhero outfit in this book. But just a really, really solid book, and I think anybody that's interested in the Spider-Verse thing, I'd grab it. I'd give it a shot, you know.
Besides his look, like, he has pretty much the same Peter Parker powers, webbing and everything.
Yeah, the webbing actually comes out of his wrist. It's
so
not,
he's organic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, he's got the super strength. He's got the webbing. He can stick to the walls and stuff like that. He also uses guns, which is kind of different.
Yeah. Well, like that one, remember in that Superior Spider-Man that I was talking about with the one badass Spider-Man that Doc Ock recruited, like he'd kill. Like, that's kind of what I like to see, a little more Wolverine-ish in some of these goody-two-shoes superheroes.
Well, somebody's got to step up and be Wolverine here pretty soon.
Yeah, true.
So maybe it's Spider-Man Noir. But but yeah, so I'd highly recommend going and check it out. You know, like I said, I mean, the artwork alone, I think, is worth it. But the storytelling from Hein and Sapolsky, I can't argue. I mean, this is a really cool new version. And I guess, well, and you like Spider-Man 2099,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know if you're into the Miles Morales Spider-Man, you know, in the Ultimates, but this is just another type of Spider-Man, and if you like those, you'll like this.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so that's it for Off the Shelf, brought to you by Grand Con next week, man. I can't believe it's freaking next week already.
I know. I can't believe it's freaking fall.
I can't believe it's not butter spray.
I can't believe you got a Hello Kitty thing on your headphones there.
Well, yeah.
I mean, nice little charm there.
It says, I love apples.
Do you love apples? Is that why you got it?
No, I got it because I had to borrow a pair of headphones. And, you know.
So you went with the one with the Hello Kitty?
This is what I was given.
Okay. So,
What am I going to do, man?
Wear them proudly.
Yeah. Although she did go, you probably don't want the Hello Kitty thing on there. I'm like, hey, you might as well leave it on. It'll give Tony something to make fun of.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Let's get into some news.
Some newts?
Yep.
I haven't said newts in forever. Is that on your bingo checklist?
No, actually, I don't think that one is. And actually, I think I am going to make a bingo checklist. Give it. Oh, I'm doing that. I'm giving it to the Grand Con people if they stop by our booth and be like, check it off when you listen to us.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have newts, nerdly nuggets, watering hole, dive bar. Actually, we should just do some for all of us.
That's true.
Matt making his noises when we do the Indy Turnpike. I've got a few. I've got a few verbal crutches of yours.
Yeah, Tony not being able to say words.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, shit, that's gonna. Oh, I had a Tony moment, and I can't remember what it was. I will find out. But yeah, I totally made up words.
Those are the best words when you make them up.
Yeah,
because then you can define them in any which way.
No, my two favorite fake words of yours so far were. Fictitional.
Okay. Yep.
And imaginationalism.
Okay.
Because I like those because it takes a lot of imaginationalism to use fictional words. So, all right. News this week is brought to you by Daw Apparel, DAWApparel.com. Go check them out. That's where you can get your Drunk on Comics t-shirts. And when you show up to Grand Con, you can be sporting a Drunk on Comics t-shirt, and everybody will automatically know you're cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, use the code DOC20 and get 20% off, too. So
something cool that is online right now, and it's pretty sweet, and I am not a supporter of this school, and if you're a listener and you do support them, well, yay for you. But Ohio State's marching band is fucking amazing.
See, this is because you're a U of M fan.
Yes.
And so you got to be a hater.
Yes. But I can't hate on this marching band. The shit they do, they have powers. It's humanly impossible what they did, but they just had, and they've done this a lot of times. Like, I think we've mentioned some of the things that they've done before, mm-hmm. movies and everything, but this one took over TV land and old TV shows and...
Well, and some new stuff, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, yeah, some new TV shows as well. But the way they did it, fucking, like I said, I don't understand how that's humanly possible, but obviously they're humans, so it is possible.
There's some good nerdy references in here, you know, which I thought were good. The ones that stuck out for me, Game of Thrones was pretty cool.
The Simpsons. Yeah, that skateboard was pretty cool. Yep,
the Addams Family. And the 1967 Adam West Batman, where they made the Batmobile.
And then they even had the smoke coming out of the back.
Like, yeah, like the tailpipe.
And the wheels turning. Like, genius.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome on there. So yeah, you can find it on YouTube and go out and check it out. It's a really cool one out there. You know, we mentioned Miles Morales here in the last segment, but there was a little teaser that came out earlier this week where Brian Michael Bendis posted on his Tumblr page the cover for Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man number 9. And it shows Miles
flying through the air
wearing a S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit.
That too.
Yeah.
And I know that's just a pose of him flying through the air, but yeah. So he might join the Ultimate S.H.I.E.L.D. verse. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, yeah.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Ultimate verse. That's what I meant to say.
The Ultiverse?
Yes.
Yeah. So check that out if you guys are interested.
Wait, or will he? Because I'm sure Doc Ock will be kidnapping soon for Spider-Verse.
Maybe he's going to be in S.H.I.E.L.D. in the 616.
Oh. That could be too.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. But one other quick note. You guys have heard us talk a lot about Afterlife with Archie and how much we love that book. If you've missed it, if you haven't got the trades, they're actually reprinting Afterlife with Archie in a magazine size format, which is going to be more like the old creepy comics and the eerie comics, you know, back in the, in like the 50s.
So it's going to be like a different size book than a regular comic book?
Magazine, okay. Like magazine size.
Okay, well...
Not comic book size.
Well, they're... Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't get magazines sent to my house, so...
No, you just... You get them at the dirty store. So, that's coming out, and I think that they're supposed to be hitting stands sometime in October, and I think that you're looking at a $5 price point on the larger format. I might actually pick one of them up just because I like that larger format.
Yeah.
You know, even though I've already got the books, but.
And, they did announce that, you know, they are going to start a new arc, but there's no release date set, which kind of a bummer. Cause I want to get back into that world.
Well, yeah, but we got the Sabrina series coming out here soon, which will kind of keep us, you know, tied over for a little while. Eric Larson, creator of Savage Dragon from Image Comics, which, you know, that book's been going on since the 90s, wrote something on his own personal Facebook page that he has written and, like, actually fully completed a Savage Dragon screenplay. So now question is whether or not he was writing it because he wanted to write it and shop it around. If somebody was like, hey, we're interested, you know, see what you can come up with or what. But I'm happy to see that the creator of these characters in this world also did the screenplay, because then hopefully if it does make it to the big screen, it will be
more true to source than
as true to the heart and everything as possible.
Well, here's the thing too. Like, it's also pretty awesome that, not a big Marvel DC, like obviously these writers now are thinking maybe we can make a movie out of my comic book, which will then help comic book sales for it. I like this. Like, I hope more, I mean, I don't want to say Savage Dragon be independent, but it more is, it's a big name, but smaller than, yeah, you know, X-Men and stuff. But having, I mean, Walking Dead has their TV show, so they already have their other format. But some of these other series, like, it'd be cool if they started, like, kind of making a script and, yeah, trying to sell it to the studios.
Yeah. You know, and I like that, too, with, you know, with especially creator-owned stuff. But speaking of creator-owned, did you get to take a peek at the Harvey Award winners?
A little bit. I mean, the winner.
Well, yeah. Well, we were joking with our buddy Jim Toe last night, which, you know, old time listeners of our show will know him from way back when. But joking how perhaps they should just be called the Saga Awards from now on, because Saga just cleaned up. Best writer, best artist, best cover artist. Let's see, there was something else in there too. I think it was like, and best continuing or limited series. So basically, you know, the only thing that they didn't get was best single issue or story, which was the Hawkeye number 11, the Pizza Dog issue, or Pizza's My Business. That one got that. And then, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else that they could have won that they didn't get.
Yeah, because, I mean, other things are like best web comic, so they obviously can't win that. Or,
well,
which went to Battle Pug, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Hall of Fame Award went to Charles Schultz, creator of Peanuts. Humanitarian of the Year Award went to Stan Goldberg, who just recently passed away. Lifetime Achievement Award went to Herb Trimpe, which I think most of the mainstream people know him as the guy that originally drew Wolverine back in Hulk 181. But yeah, Best Cartoonist was Paul Pope. Letterer was Terry Moore. Best Colorist, Dave Stewart, which he is fantastic. But I was kind of, I kind of figured the way Jordi Belair has been on her roll lately, I kind of thought that she was going to take it this year.
Here's one that I don't understand the title of it. Best Original Graphic Album. Like, and the winner is the fifth Beatle. So a story about the Beatles, like, I guess you need to be about music to win that award.
You know, that book is actually pretty amazing, and I don't know why it's a graphic album.
I'll have to do a little research on that one, but
yeah, that's definitely one of those things. And I think there is some information in here about it. So, you know, I'll have to look a little bit more on it, but yeah, it's the awards are out there. So if you want to see the full lineup, of who got what, then yeah, definitely give it a chat. But, oh, the fifth Beatle also won, here's the other information, was best biographical, historical, or journalistic presentation.
Okay.
So, yeah, that got two different awards there. So, yeah, it was cool. I like the awards, which reminds me we're nearing the end of our year, so we got to start compiling our lists.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
You know, for the Drunky Awards, again, coming up here soon. What else did you have out there, Tony?
Well, I find this process of making comic books so fascinating, like from pencils to even you collect a lot of original prints that you can.
Original art, yeah.
Yeah.
Not prints.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Original art. And The Walking Dead is coming out with an artist-proof edition of their All Out War. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a 248-page hardcover book that shows kind of the process of making the comic book how it was, of the drawings and everything. So obviously they're not originals, but they are scans of the originals to see.
Yeah, and typically these artist editions are 11 by 17, so it's the size of the original art. I know that there's a Mazzucchelli artist edition for Daredevil out there that I would just love to get, but it's like $175.
Jesus.
And I mean, it's gorgeous, but yeah, I can't justify doing that for myself. So, I didn't see a price on this. I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be pretty awesome. Let me look here and see if there's anything. There's pre-orders available out there, but I don't see a price on these either. So we'll just have to see what happens when it comes out.
So we've had Smallville. We have Arrow now. Then we're going to get The Flash. We're also going to get a Supergirl television series.
Yeah.
There are rumors of it happening, but now it's been confirmed that it is going to happen.
Yeah, well, that they're, you know, they're, it's confirmed that they, that DC, Warner Brothers, whoever is actually out there legitimately shopping it, looking, you know, at stuff. So it hasn't been signed on yet, but more than likely, I got a hard time seeing this get turned down with everything that's going on.
Especially having a female character-driven show, that's something that's really needed in television and movies. And
well, yeah, and that kind of actually leads into something else, which Bloomberg Business Week. I'm a little disappointed in them because they put out an article called "Female Fans Give Boost to Comic Book Publishers."
OMG!
Yeah. That's the first thing you see is, and spelled out, O-H-E-M-G-E-E-E-E-E-E, exclamation point, with a girl in her Supergirl.
You actually did say all the E's. Yeah. Just counted.
Supergirl costume sitting there reading on her phone. And this doesn't actually talk about female comic book fans. This talks about basically how women are cosplayers and they get into the fashion of comic books. And I'm like, you know, as fanboys, We catch a lot of flack being dudes sometimes because guys that are in this industry as fans or whatnot can be very, very sexist and stereotypical at times. But yet, here you get something like Bloomberg Business Week that comes out and just lays down the most stereotypical fucking thing ever. And I'm like, you know, why? You're talking about how this is helping, you know, publishers' profits. Why don't you talk about what they're buying? Why don't you talk about how many of them are out there right now? So I actually went and did a little bit of research because that pissed me off, and I was able to find an article that I'd read back real early spring that shows that just shy of 47% of all comic fans right now are female. So, I mean, it's pretty darn close to half and half. The only thing with this that that I wish I could find out is when you're looking at a spend budget, I'm curious to know, or even just a number of issues of comics, are women out buying guys or are guys out buying women, or is that pretty close to the same too? You know, because I don't know. And
like when you go into a shop, though, you typically see men in there. I mean, you'll see some girls, but over majority of men. That's why that number.
It depends on what day of the week you go, though. We go on Wednesdays.
True. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
When's the last time you went into the shop on a Saturday?
Never.
And the one that's downtown Grand Rapids here? Dude, you go in there on weekend nights? I'm a minority. Like, it is way more women shopping in there than men.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking to pick up a chick, maybe you should, you know, swing down there later tonight. Now, I'll let you borrow this Hello Kitty charm. Maybe that'll help. And you just go, I like apples. But, yeah, it depends on the time. I think Wednesday you get the guys like us that are hardcore. We want our books immediately. We want to see, you know, have the best availability of what's out there. And so we plan our work days around when basically the comic book shop opens on Wednesday. So, but yeah, I would like to see that. I would also be curious to find out when it comes to digital versus print, if there's a big split. Because,
well, I've always wondered that. Are you talking about for genders specific? Okay. I just wondered that kind of as in, I know a lot more people are doing digital, but with those numbers being balanced, are there more people going into the field than what was? And then is that increasing? You know, if it's still the same 100 people and then the digital is increasing more, but if we're getting hundreds and hundreds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Math.
Yeah. Yeah. Those fictitional numbers. Okay. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, just girls. gorgeous thing. And Tony, here's one. If you decide to buy all of these variant covers, I won't be upset. DC's got Darwin Cook variant covers coming out here this December, which are absolutely just fucking gorgeous. I've seen four of them right now. But there are so many more out there. It's going to be 23 covers total. I think they're going to be wraparounds from the way that that it appears. Or they're going to be like calendar format.
Okay.
I guess. It's going to be really, really cool. I'm looking forward to it. Darwin Cook is just an absolutely amazing artist. And yeah, I could actually understand buying all these just for the covers. Unlike those 3D things.
Yeah. Spent a lot of money on those.
Yeah. I had two other things, Tony, if we got time here left.
Yeah.
Okay. New ride coming to Six Flags Over Texas. And it's a DC-themed ride. It's called Justice League Battle for Metropolis. And this one here is kind of cool because it's one of these where it's not necessarily like the biggest, tallest, scariest ride that they got. It's a really cool, fun ride, but from the sounds of it, you kind of get to, it's an interactive shooter.
I've gone on the Men in Black one. You shoot aliens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'd never heard of a ride that did this before, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. And I think that this was that this ride was designed by Bloomberg Businessweek because it's kind of cool because you do have Supergirl and Wonder Woman are part of the ride, but they're the only female characters. And guess what? Those two, along with the Flash and Green Lantern, have already been trapped by Lex Luthor and the Joker, and you have to go rescue them.
So then who's the people on your team then? Just Superman and Batman?
Superman and Batman. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's pretty much kind of leaving just...
Cyborg, probably.
Okay.
Hawkman.
Dick Grayson. Yeah. I don't know. That's...
No.
Well, I don't know. He's not captured, so...
Yeah.
I have one kind of cool thing that... starting Fridays, Made Fire is doing free Fridays, where if you go to their website and their motion book store that they have online, they are giving away one free title a week. And coming from publishers such as IDW, Valiant, a lot of other indie books too, you can get their app on Android and iPhone and get some free books, and free is always good.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I had, the new pictures of the Batman versus Superman Batmobile came out.
Yeah, and my reaction is it's a mix between the Tumblr and something smaller than the Tumblr version and from the last movies, but it just looks dirty. It doesn't look black like Batman's, and it's missing the damn spoiler. It needs to have those fins on the back of it.
Yeah. It's a cool looking vehicle, but there's absolutely nothing about it that says Batman to me. I guess that's my only problem. It looks cool, but it doesn't say Batman.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're doing this whole, I mean, some of Batman's stuff was flashy, cheesy, like, looking back at the old Tim Burton movies, that's what are in the comic books. Now they're trying to do this whole Christopher Nolan's real-life type militarized Batmobile. Like, no, make it
fun. Yeah, but make it black.
Yeah. I mean, the one color that it always has been.
Yeah, I mean, and now granted, I know that he's kind of got the gray suit, you know, that it's not a solid black suit. So, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to match his outfit. You know, he's...
You know, fashion sense.
He's going out for a night on the town. He's going to have some bat cocktails and, you know, go pick up some robins. And, yeah, who knows? What was that look?
Well, something that I thought of, I don't know if I mentioned it before, of how with Robin, he has a kid sidekick that he dresses in bright red. Like, he's telling the bad guys, yeah, target this kid over here so they'll sneak up behind you. And that's just mean.
Yeah. Hey, look at the little boy in little green
tights. You
know, banana hammocks and a red top. Why is he wearing a mask? What's up with that kid? Boonk. So, all right. Well, I think that does it for news.
What do you got for Indy?
Indy Turnpike this week. I have got Ted McKeever's The Superannuated Man, issue number 3, from Image Comics. I talked about this one on issue 1, and this is it's a Golden Age format size book. So, Tony, that's more like a magazine format on there, but. This is obviously written and drawn by Ted McKeever, and the art is all black and white. It's an old heavy stock page. It's not a glossy page, and for black and white comics, you've heard me bitch. I hate it when I can see through the pages. This one, I don't really have that problem because it's really good heavy quality stock, heavy paper stock. This book. Even if you don't want to read the words, you can just look through this just at the pictures and be fucking amazed at what is going on here.
The art is just drawn so well.
Yeah, and it is just fucking nuts the amount of detail that McKeever put into every single panel in here. Now, the basic premise of this, which all you really need to know, is that this is somewhere in the future. The superannuated man is a guy that they just refer to as he. And he is basically the last man. Or at least he's the last man in this area. Animals have evolved into anthropomorphic type creatures. And they've taken over the world. They've killed off all the humans. They ate them. They ran them out. Whatever it may be, but this guy just has decided that he's just gonna stick around. He's not gonna leave the city. He's gonna stay there. The animals are not that smart as far as their communication abilities. They speak English, but they speak terrible English, and it's weird because like he's standing. He goes to this movie theater every week, which is run by this like dog kind of guy. And he's standing the opening sequence is him standing at the urinal pissing, and the dog guy that owns the theater is drinking out of the urinal next to him. And he's like, you know, you piss in these things, right? You don't drink out of them. And he's like, yeah, well, one man's urinal is another man's fountain. You know who said that? Me. I did. That's great. It's like, what? No, that's not great. But it's this is a cool book. And I'm glad I picked this issue 1 up. If you can find issue 1 and issue 2, you definitely should go back and read them. But this book keeps getting better. And it was a little confusing with the first one. There's still some stuff going on, which, Tony, I know you saw some stuff there. That you're kind of looking going, what?
Yeah, what was that?
Not 100% positive, but it's been building up for 3 issues.
Okay.
So once you know, that's going to be something that's going to change a lot. And there are little hints within the book that I've picked up on things too, which I think is kind of, you know, I'll talk to you a little bit about it offline, just because I don't really want to, I don't want to spoil something. I want people to be able to find some of these things for themselves. But this is a great book too, just because of, you'll see a lot of little Easter eggs and things coming out here in the future that I think McKeever is hinting at. I don't know for sure because I haven't gotten any farther in this than any of the other readers out there, but grab it. I mean, you guys want to try something new? Go get this book. This is definitely something. It's not over the top. It's not disgusting. It's not superhero, but man, it is fucking good. So, but yeah, that was Indie Turnpike.
All right. I have a fabulous booze that I tried when I was in Stop It.
Fabulous.
I'm going to wear that chain later.
Oh, don't be jealous of Hello Kitty.
No, I recently was able to go visit a buddy of mine in Chicago when I went to go see the Garth Brooks concert, which was fabulous. Why am I saying fabulous? I don't know. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was cool. But while we were drinking some beers or going out to grab some beers, he all of a sudden said, "Holy shit, they got zombie dust." And I'm like, "What's zombie dust? It sounds good." He goes, "It's the best beer ever." And right now, it truly is one of my favorite beers. It is made by Three Floyds Brewing Company in Indiana.
Which is why we can't get it up here.
Yes. It's American Pale Ale. Every time I go to Chicago, though, there are so many new beers that I try there. Like, Chicago is a metropolitan of beers.
Did you find any of the God Hates Astronauts beers?
I did not, no. Unfortunately, I did look. But this one, the art on the thing is by Tim Seeley.
Yep.
So,
you know what? I actually think I may have talked about this beer before.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because I know that Tim Seeley did the art for another beer. We'll have to look.
Okay.
But anyway, continue.
So, obviously, being zombies, I had to pair it with the book that I picked up, which is Empire of the Dead, that came out again, Act 2, number 1 of 5. That is from Marvel. George Romero's work that they're doing in comic book form has just been amazing. And this beer just pairs perfectly with it, plus zombies.
Zombies.
Yep.
Cool. All right. We got anything else for last call?
Amazing Spider-Man. That is still going good with Silk, his new girlfriend, which I'm actually kind of... I know, you know, Peter Parker isn't Doc Ock, who really liked Anna Maria. But seriously, him making out with his new spider twin when Anna Maria is driving, like, it just seems kind of dickish, but still good.
The Bunker, number 6. That book is just getting better and better. And, you know, there were a lot of books that came out this week that I could have very easily talked about, but because I've talked about them so recently, I held off. Like The Death of Wolverine, number 2. So.
Yeah, if you guys are not reading Astro City, you should read it. They've destroyed the first 14, and now it's Astro City 15. And you'll get that joke if you've listened long enough.
Ghosted, issue number 13. I picked up 12 for the very first time here, you know, like a month ago, based on the recommendation of one of the guys at our shop, and I'm really glad I did. Lazarus is still kicking ass out there. Thomas Alsop, still kicking serious ass. And I gotta say, the shocker this week, The Walking Dead is becoming really good again.
When did it become bad?
That all-out war was...
Okay, it dragged on, but I thought it was it was too long.
Yeah.
But it was good, I mean...
Yeah, it was all-out dragged on. Can we tell the fucking story war?
Yeah.
It was a good story, but it just needed to move along a little bit. And then Inhuman, number 5.
Yep, last one that I was able to read, Fantastic Four. I'm going to be sad when it's gone and then renumbered and come back again.
Yeah. Oh, I did have one other. But I left it at home, and it pissed me off because I probably would have talked about it a little bit. But it was the Dawn and Vampirella crossover.
You love your Dawn.
I do. And it was a Joseph Michael Linsner book, and it made me happy. So, and I was like, I'm like, I don't know about Vampirella. It worked pretty well.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's going to do it.
Yeah. So, come see us next weekend at Grand Con.
Yeah. And we're going to have some, oh, God, are we dumb? What? Wizard of Book is brought to you by Ink Whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
The best fucking guys in the world outside of us.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in Ink Whiskey and you're going to come to Grand Con, guess what? We will be selling some of their flasks there.
Yep.
So if you haven't been able to catch them in places like Chicago or Toronto or, you know, out on the East Coast where they're or West Coast where they're at, then, yeah, you're going to be able to get your hands on one of those nifty little flasks. Come see us, cash only. But, and we might maybe even have a few of the gold special edition ones.
Those ones are sweet.
Convention only. So, but in the meantime, if you can't wait, go to inkwhiskey.com, check those guys out, and you can buy a flask there for $20. Shipping is included. Otherwise, come see us, and you can pick one out right out of our dirty little hands.
Yep.
So, all right. I guess that's it, man. We got a lot to do before next week.
Yeah, fuck, yeah. So much to do. So, listeners, keep reading your comics, and we'll be back next week to talk about them then.